Okay, we're picking up four lines from the top of Pei Hei Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored Leila Nishma Shulamis Bas Yaakov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. We're really in the middle of a sugya, so I'm just going to chazer again what exactly was going on over here. The Gemara has a problem that we had a stira between the Reisha and the Seifa of our Mishnah, because the Reisha says if you want to aser all the Kohanim and Levim, they could go take against your will. And then, and seemingly, we see over we would see over there that Tuvas Hana is not considered mamon. The right to choose which Kohanim and Levim to give it to is not in your is not really considered, it is in your jurisdiction, but it's not really considered a monetary value. So the fact that the Kohanim and Levim are able to against your will take Truma and Meiser in that case, that is because the Tuvas Hana, the right that you have to choose which Kohen and Levi to give it to, is not considered real monetary value, and that's not considered that they're benefiting from you. However, the Seifa of the Mishnah said that if you say these Kohanim to Reuven the Kohen, Shimon the Kohen, I'm not giving it to them, so then the halacha is those can't take, however others can. So that implied that the ability, why can't those take? Because if they did, that would be against your jurisdiction of choosing who to give it to, and that is considered a monetary value, and that'd be violating your neder of being neneh from someone you ossered. So the Gemara says, and seemingly this was a very big question. So the Gemara wanted to answer that maybe the Reisha and the Seifa is the two different implications are actually two different shitas. That we have the Braisa tells us that if someone steals from his friend, so let's just give our example that you steal 100 apples. So a guy steals 100 apples of Tevel. So no Truma, no Meiser has been taken off. So 100 apples, you have to take off 2%. Barak, right? You could choose, but let's say 2% is the standard. So you take off 2 apples to Truma, and let's just round up, and then you'd have to take 9.8, let's round to 10, as Meister Rishon, and then another 9 as Meister Sheni. So in those years, we give it to the Ani, you give the right to choose, okay, but let's discuss Meister Rishon right now and the Truma. So when it comes to the Truma and the Meister Rishon, so that 2 apples and that 9.8, apples, right? Rounding, let's say 10 apples that you're able to choose who to give it to, that as monetary value. So if you steal 100 apples from somebody, so it's a machlokes in what you have to pay. According to Rebbe, you have to pay the value that Gemara understands right now. You have to pay the value that you're able, the favor that I'm giving, those 2 apples to the Kohen, those 10 apples to the Levi, that's worth, let's say we gave the example yesterday, we said it's worth $5. So that you'd have to pay. And so on top of, let's say, assume every apple is worth a dollar. So you have to pay, you would have to pay the value of, so the, you have to, you could subtract Meister Rishon and Meister Sheni. So let's just say it's around 21 apples you're subtracting. So you're left with 79 apples. So those 79 apples, we'll say $1 each, you have to pay 79 plus 5, you'd have to pay $84. That's the opinion of Rebbe in our example. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda would say, no, you have to pay only the amount of the chulin, the non-truma, meaning you'd only pay 79 apples, you pay $79, you do not need to pay $84. So the Gemara assumed that maybe the machlokis is whether or not, how do we understand what's the idea of Tumas Hana? Rebbe understands that since we can quantify the $5 as a real monetary value, so you are going to have to pay it, and it's a real monetary value, that would be the opinion of Rebbe, and that would line up with the Braisa, which says that from that you can't, you're choosing which coin to give it to is really a monetary value, and therefore that's the Seifa of the Mishnah. However, the Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda doesn't understand that it's not considered mamon. You can't quantify how much that's worth, the value of what people might appreciate, the fact that you're giving them their meiser and their chumi. You can't give a value to that, a dollar value. It's not considered real and tangible money, and therefore he would be of the opinion that when you're aser all the kohanim to you, so then you would not be aser to give it to, all of them could against your will take it, because really, and who had been, according to this understanding of the Gemara, that even if you establish you're not giving it to Reuven the Kohen or Shimon the Kohen, they can also take it because it's not monetary value that they're being benefiting from you. So the Gemara answered to that and says, no, everybody agrees that Tuvas Hana would not be Mamun. And so then the machlokas over here is they're disregarding b'matnos. So lo de kuli alma tuvas hana ina mamon. So again, answering the question, elahacha b'matnos shelo her mukam mifli. You'll just start from the Gemara over there, and the Gemara is answering that they're disagreeing only with the status of that which had not yet been separated. They're not dealing with actual Truma Meiser. We're dealing with the case of Tevel, where you don't have the Truma Meiser taken off. So Rebbe holds that these are not considered as if they had already been separated. They're considered part of Chulin, because you have 100 apples right now. So he has to pay you. It doesn't matter what's going to happen to them. That you were going to take off 2% to Meiser, and then another 10% after that to Meiser Rishon. So when you're left with 9.8 apples, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have to pay not the 79 apples that we gave. Rather, you would have to pay the full 100 apples according to Rebbe, as opposed to Rebbe, so we don't know, we consider as if they're separated because you're not going to use them. You're not allowed to benefit from, let's say it's Meister Aniyar, so it makes it easier. So you're not, so you're the Truma Gedola is given to the Kohen, the Meister Rishon is given to Levi, Meister Ani is given to the Ani. You're not being nene from any one of those 21 apples, so they should only give you 79 apples, the value is. So according to this explanation, that when Rebbe tells us that the Ganev has to pay the value of the stolen Tevel, we're understanding you have to pay the full value of all 100 apples. Not like we said before, the 79 plus the value of what could have been if you gave it to the Kohen, which is like, let's say $5, but actually the full-fledged $100, each apple being worth a dollar in our example, then you would have to pay full-fledged $100. So now the Gemara says, so, but itubas hana enamamon, if we're assuming that being able to choose which Kohen and which Levi to give it to is not considered real halachic value, so then, and that's a tangible money, mali hormu, mali hormu. So what's the difference if they were separated from it or not? He doesn't even choose who to give it to, meaning if the guy is not owning the Trumas and Meisers after you're deciding to separate them, so you can't be understand to be the owner of while the gifts are there. How could Rebbe possibly tell us that you have to pay us the Trumas and Meisers if Tuvasana is Eina Mamon? If we're assuming the Tuvasana is Eina Mamon, so then I didn't have 100. You can't tell me 100 apples. I don't have 100 apples. I have 100 minus Truma, which is 9, so now it's going to be 98 apples, then minus the 9.8, which isn't that's around the 10, is they're going to have 98, and another 10, right? I have 78 apples, roughly. I have 78 apples. 79 apples we give. So I have 79 apples. I don't have 100, because those Trumas, Truma, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni have nothing to do with me. They're not mine. So therefore, this shouldn't matter if you take off the Truma or not. So in both cases, I shouldn't be considered mine, and I shouldn't have to pay the full value. So the Gemara says it can't be that that's the opinion of Rebbe. Rather, Ella Hainu Taima de Rebbe. So back to the Gemara, we're at Ella Hainu Taima de Rebbe. This is the reasoning for Rebbe, that the why do you have to pay the full value? Kansur Abana Laganav, that really you're right, that if you understand that Tuvasana is Eina Mamon, you shouldn't have to pay $100. Why are we making the thief pay $100? He didn't steal the Truman Meister from you. That's the Mamon Hashem, that's for the Kaam, it's letting them deal with them, but you shouldn't have to pay you back $100. However, here is Kansur Abana Laganav, Kiyeche de lo Lignov, that as another method of trying to make a preventative measure to prevent people from stealing. So what do we want to do? We penalize the thief over here that he should not, he should have to pay more than he actually is due. Really, he should have had to pay $79. But Rebbe's saying, as a knas, we make him pay the full $100 so that this part of the robbery, he's going to think, oh, listen, if I steal the guy's 100 apples, I really get like a 20% discount over here. I don't have to pay him. Even if I get caught, I don't have to pay the 20% that he's going to have to take off for Trumas and Maestros. So I may as well steal. It's not so bad. So no, we make you pay the full value, even though really that extra 20 or so, really 21, in our example, those should really not have to be paid. No, as a knas, as a punishment, we make you pay that extra amount. Fine. So that was a nice explanation. Now the Gemara is giving another explanation based on the assumption opposite, that everybody would agree, the Ram points out, that everybody agreed Tuvasana Mamon in this answer. And so then, what's the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda? So says the Gemara, Rebbe Yossi, but Rebbe Yehuda is going to understand, Savar, he understands that the thief is exempt from paying the value of Truma Meiser because Kansura Banal Balabai is the opposite. Here, we're punishing the Balabais. Why? Ki hechi delo lishit l'tivle. Because we punish him so really, Rabbi Yossi, so everybody's assuming that Tuvasana is Mamun. So then going back to Rebbe would understand that you pay 85, not back to you pay the full value of 100 apples, but you're paying only the value of the Tuvasana, of the value that he should have gotten for the thankfulness that the Levi and the Kohen should give. So in our example, you give him $79, that's the full value of his non-Tevel. and then you add in the $5, that's the value of the Truma Meiser that people would have appreciated, and we can value it, assess it as being $5. So why does Rabbi Yossi Rabbi say you'd only pay $79, you don't pay the $84? Because he understands that we're punishing the Baal HaBayis. Why didn't you take off Truma Meiser? There's a mitzvah to take it off right away, that there shouldn't be related to Nichshel. So even though the Ganav should have to pay the Tuvas Anah of Truma Meiser to this Baal HaBayis, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda understands that we exempted him as a penalty to the owner for not taking off Chumas and Maestros. And therefore, we're understanding that the Rebbe is understanding that there is no such penalty because it's considered a mammon. You just pay regular mammon. You have to pay that $5. However, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would understand that the Tuvas Anah is not being paid over here as a punishment to the Baal HaBayis, which is actually very interesting, because then you have a concept that the Ganav is like Chotan Iskar, that he's because this other guy did something wrong, though, the Ganav still does something wrong also. Why shouldn't he have to pay it something else? It's a very fascinating thing that the Ganav doesn't have to pay it because of the Baal HaBayis issue over here. But that's what we're assuming. Now the Gemara says, Vayter, that we understand, according to the Rabbi Yoshia, we go back to having the original question. What was the original question? How could we understand the stira between our Mishnah? Because we don't know. We've answered that the Breisa. We answered the what's the Asona Machlokas in the Breisa. But now we're stuck is because we don't have an answer to what exactly is going on in the contradiction between the Mishnah. In the Reisha of our Mishnah, we implied what you asked for all Kohanim, that they're all allowed to take it. So we assume Tuvas Anah is Eino Mamon. And in the Seifa, we said that where you specify Reuven the Kohen and Shimon the Kohen, they are in fact usher for getting benefit. So if that's the case, why do we say that those people are actually usher from taking Trumas and Maestros? It shouldn't be Chal. If it's Tuvas Anah is Eino Mamon, let them take also. So how do we answer this? So it says the Gemara now a different answer. Rava Amar. So really the Mishnah's whole understanding that Tuvas Hana really is considered Mammon. So that would explain the Seifa, why you're able to choose. So how is it that the Reisha works out? Why is it when you asser the entire Kohanim and the entire Levium that they are allowed to take against their will? So says the Gemara, Shani Truma, at least when it comes to Truma, and similarly when it comes to Maaser Rishon, we'll understand that Dehayne Tama Deitlu Al Karcha, the reason the Kohanim are allowed to take the Truma against the owner, they're against the owner's will, Mishum, the Truma Lochaze Elo Kohanim. Because Truma is only fit for Kohanim. And since by making a neder for all Kohanim to benefit from your truma, so then what did you do? Shava Afra Be'alma, you made it like dust of the earth, like Afra Be'alma, you made it dust, meaning that you made it impossible for you to give it to any Kohen. So therefore, it's like, according to the Lashon of the Ran, it's like Afkere Lahi Tuvas Anah Sheyesh Laba, because at the end of the day, the truma itself was never really the owner's property. Only the benefit of the truma was. And since when you assert all kohanim, you've been mafkir, according to the Ran, you've been mafkir, you forfeited the right to give it to any kohen, so therefore you made it like it's hefker, and therefore any kohen who wants is taking from hefker, not from you. And the same halacha, the Ran points out, would be by Meiser. That in the case where the owner assert all the Levium to benefit from him, by saying that he's not able to give it to any Levi, so therefore, that Tuvas Anah, you've also assert upon yourself, so therefore it becomes Hefker to every Levi, and therefore, you would be able to be Mafkir it, you'd be able to be Mafkir that, it's like, not able to, you were Mafkir it, and therefore when the Kohanim and the Levium come to you, it's not like they're taking it, a beneficial monetary value from you, they're taking it from Hefker, and that's why it's mutter. That's how the Ran understands the sugya over here. So then the Ran continues to bring out a raya from our Mishnah, from this din right over here. The way we're explaining the Mishnah is that we see over here, if a person is asers peros olam to himself, so that if one makes a neder asering benefit tuvas anah, so that's what we see from our Mishnah. So then what comes out is that if someone makes a neder asering himself to benefit from all of his apples, let's say his entire crop of apples, so therefore he seems to be forfeiting the rights to the entire apples, despite the fact that so we see over there that anybody could take it. That's what the Rashba wants to understand. Since it's aser to you, it's like you're mafkirit, and then anybody could have enough from it. But the Rashba points out, well, wait a second, the Ran quotes the Rashba over here. Now wait a second, can't the guy do Ataris Nadarim? Shouldn't we be afraid that he does Ataris Nadarim? And then if that's the case, you're taking from Hefker. So says the Rashba, no. Why is that not? We see from Araya from our Mishnah that the Kohanim and the Levim are allowed to take the Trumas and Maestros. Wait a second, maybe the guy is going to do a She'ela on his Neder. He's going to come to uproot his Neder. And if the guy does a She'ela on his Neder, so then what? Who cares? No, but then he's uprooting. We know that's the Mafreya. That's the whole difference between Afara and Atara. The Atara goes back and it says like it was never done. So if that's the case, what comes out, according to the Rashba, is that it would be that you're not, the Kohen illegally took the Trumas and Maestros. Why? Because when the guy uproots his neder, he wasn't ushering the whole Kohanim and the Shevet Kohanim against him. And therefore, he would be allowed to choose which Kohen to give it to. And that Tuvas Hana, which we're understanding, is Mamun, our answer right now, according to Rava. So that comes out Lamafreya retroactively, that you were taking that value from him, Elamai, since we see that that's not an issue. We're not choshish for the idea that you can uproot the neder through Hataras Nadarim. That is the opinion of the Rashba. The Ran disagrees, though. The Ran himself, he continues and he disagrees with the Rashba. He says that even though you're right, that if a person is Matir Nadarim, that would uproot the neder, but that wouldn't retroactively change the fact that this status of this produce, as the way we're explaining it, is Hefker. That the produce is Hefker, and therefore the Truma that the Kohen is taking is from Ki'ilu, like it's Hefker, not from the guy himself, that itself is going to be not changed. Even when the guy does a Taras Nadarim, that is not uprooting the status of the Hefker. Therefore, if anyone takes the property before Hataras Nadarim, he's allowed to keep it even afterwards, according to the Ran, because that would be the Nafkamina, that according to the Rashba, if the guy took it, then you'd have to give it back, and then the coin could choose which coin to give it to, theoretically. But we just give him up until the time that he does Hatara, we assume he's not going to, like a Chazaka. That the Chazaka, that the status quo is Mutter, it's like Al Pirov, let's say, and you're allowed to take that money. But once it's actually done and you do the Atara, according to the Rashba, you'd have to give back and let him choose which coin to give it to. But according to the Ran, no, really you would not, because the status of the Kohanim and the Levim when they took it was the fact that the guy was Mafkir. That Hefkir doesn't change from the fact that you do Hataras Nadarim. That's the way that the Ran wants to explain the Sugya over here. Others explain, the Ritva and Muki Yosef, they explain differently. They say that our Mishnah's case, the reason the Kohan and Levim are allowed to take the Truma over here, even though the guy asked it to them, is because really Truma obviously belongs to Kohanim. What did the owner do? The owner really just had the right to choose which one to give it to. Since the owner, by making this neder, he has removed the rights to be able to choose who to give it to. So all they're doing is just taking what etzem was really theirs. So even though generally Hatara works retroactively as removing the state of Hefker, like the Ran wants the Taina, in our case, Kohanim and Levim really make our din, it was really theirs. We just gave him a special right. That right he has removed, but even though he doesn't Taras Nadarim and they give it back himself that right, all you're doing is getting back the right, but that right wasn't really considered, like the Mammon was taken unlawfully and illegally. It was taken unlawfully and illegally. It was taken legally, and therefore it really was like it was theirs. That's how the Ritva explains it. There's more shitas. We don't have time to get into all of them right now. I'll just say one more. The Shach Yardea quotes another shita. He understands that when a person makes his property usher to himself, it doesn't become Hefker. That no one's allowed to take it. He is not allowed to have enough from it, and it's his own, and he's allowed to designate it, let's say it's a tzedakah, let's say. So only in the Mishnah's case where it's given to a Kohanim Levim, it's similar to the Ritva. It's really that was theirs always, so then they're allowed to take it. But you can't extend this Bichlal. They disagree with the Rashba's whole premise, that the same thing, if a person asers his Peris Olam, it's still really his. He just can't have benefit from it. What's the Nafkamina? So that's what the Shach points out. You can make a Nafkamina, is that he's allowed to give it to Tzedakah. That's not called Anah for him. So he's allowed to give it to Tzedakah. So since it really was his, nobody's allowed to take it. As opposed to the Kohanim Levim, which was really theirs, at that point he would agree with the Ritva, then he would say that it was really theirs the whole time, and that's why, in that case, they're allowed to take it where the guy makes a tar. Okay, very fascinating. There's a lot of alumnus behind it. There's a famous Shimon. We don't have time to go more into this, but that is a fascinating Gemara over here. So now we're up to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Konem She'eni Ose Al Pi Abba, that if a woman says to her husband, a konem, that I will not do work for my father, so whatever she produces is going to be usher as a konem, as like a korban to her father. V'al pi avicha, or to my father-in-law, I don't like him either. V'al pi achi, or for my brother. V'al pi achicha, or to your brother, my brother-in-law. Eino yachol lehifer. The husband is not able to do a hafara on that neder, because the neder is not considered inoy nefesh, nor is it something that's beino lebinot. It's between her and other people in the family, but not him, not directly the husband. She'eni ose al picha, if she said, konem, that I will not do work for your mouth, literally, eino tzarech lahafer. There you don't need to be mefer the neder, because we know that the wife is obligated to work for her husband. That's part of the tnai ksuba, that she does work for the husband, and in exchange, the husband is going to support her. For Rabbi Akiva, omer no yefer, that you should do hafara. Why shematadif alav yosir min aroilo? Because if she's going to have more than the amount. The Mishnah Ksuvah tells us the woman is obligated to produce 5 slaim worth of the amount per month. So now if she works hard and she does more, so then the lach is, that's hadafa. So the Gemara actually points out that hadafa is also going to be given to the husband. So, well, we're talking about over here that really Rabbi Akiva is assuming where she works more than even this amount of adafa. She works extremely hard and produces even more than that amount, so then that would actually remain to her. And since it's really going to be her, then the husband should do hafara on that neder, and therefore, because that would be beina levina, and therefore, it would not become usher to him. The Tanakhama understands that even the amount that she's working hard to do is going to be considered the husband's, and that's why it's not going to be, that's why the Tanakhama says you don't need to do hafara. That's why the Tanakhama says that. So now the Gemara points, the Tosas asks a kasha over there. This is important, before we go weiter in the Mishnah. Tosas asks a kasha, very strong kasha, is that if Rabbi Kiva's understanding that the hadafa that she works very hard to get is really hers, the leftovers that she worked very hard to do is really hers, So the Tosos asks, so then why is it beino levina? It's really hers. So Tosos explain that they have to come into a nukimta that to find the exact 5 slaim weight of what she's making is actually very difficult to assume. And therefore, since it's going to lead to shalom bias issues, they're going to fight over the exact amount, so that shalom bias issues is beino levina, and that's why he's allowed to be made for the neder. That's Rabbi Kiva's understanding. So that's Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri omer, yefer for a different reason. You should do hafara on the neder because shema yegarshenu to yasura love. Maybe he's going to divorce her, and she's going to become asur to go back to him. So meaning Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri agrees with the Tanakhama that the hadafa belongs to the husband, so it's unnecessary for her to be made for that neder. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is concerned for a different point, that if the husband decides to divorce his wife, so then he's going to, at that point, lose the rights to what she produces, so then the neder is going to kick back in, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, and then he's never going to be able to remarry her, because he's obviously going to be benefiting from her when he remarries her, and those things that she does around the house is going to be usher to him. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri tells us that you should do hafara. That you should do hafara. So the Ran points out that, wait a second though, before, we learned this before in Ayin Testament Beis, the Gemara told us Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri's halacha as a raya that the husband's hafara between him and her is effective even after he divorces her. But according to the Ran's whole explanation of what we just said, that's goofy what he's arguing on the Tanakhama, that it's coming back and reigniting the neder. So the Ran really points out in the Ran that the Ran's explanation applies only where the hafara never took effect in the first place. In that case, the Tanakhama understands that it doesn't take effect even when he divorces her either. The Gemara on Ayin Tesef Beis was talking about a different case. It was talking about a fire that took effect the time that it was made, and the question whether it remains after they get divorced. To that, we're bringing Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri as a proof that the neder should, in fact, remain in effect after that point, and there we wouldn't assume that the Tanakhama would disagree on that point. That's not the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and the Tanakhama. Fine. So that's what we see from Rabbi Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri over here. So says the Gemara now, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel tells us, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, the halacha follows the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, that a neder needs hafara. The Gemara points out, Lamimra, the Kasavar Shmuel, Adam Makdish Davar Shalabala Olam. This seems to imply that Shmuel understands that a person can make Hekdish, make something usher, that something that hasn't come into the world, because the woman didn't make this money yet. She's about to make the 5 slime worth, and the husband has the ability to make such a nether. So, and the case over here, she hasn't even been divorced yet, and she's currently obligated to work for her husband, and the neder can affect the post-divorced earnings that she's making. So, lachora, Shmuel is telling us that we follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri that you should do hafara, so that seems to imply that you can be makdish something which hasn't come into the world. So the Gemara points out Raminu, but that's fine. Okay, so let him hold. Like, wait, no, but there's a problem. It contradicts another statement of Shmuel. What does Shmuel tell us? Based on the Mishnah, in Ksuvos tells us a makdish ma'isei yedei ishto. A person wants to be makdish the earnings of his wife. So, right, the wife has to make the 5 slime. So he wants to be makdish, doesn't want to be makdish such a thing. Turning on to the next Amudah now. So the Gemara says, Arei ze'osa ve'ocheles. She is allowed to continue working and eating and support herself with the proceeds. Meaning, her earnings do not become kadosh, and therefore, she may use the earnings to buy herself food. So now, the question is though, why is it that the husband's hekdish does not have effect? We just said that it belongs to the husband. So the Gemara itself discussed this in Ksubas. The Gemara points out over there that the Mishnah is discussing that even though there's a concept that the husband has to support his wife, so in terms of her earnings, that was all for her. Rav Huna that we paskin like that, that the whole reason, the tama takana of a woman's maisei adayim going to the husband is really for her. We're afraid that she really should get her own maisei adayim. We're afraid though she's not going to make enough money to support herself every month. So since we're afraid of that, we made a takana that the husband supports her, and in lieu of that, we say, okay, we don't want to make shalom bias issues, so we'll give the maisei adayim to the husband. He's going to say, I'm supporting her and she's making her own money. That's ridiculous. No. So we give that money to the husband. But the whole reason of the takana is really for her, and therefore she has the right to refuse to be supported and keep her earnings. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah is telling us that the husband was makdish maisei adayim. It's understandable that she is allowed to undo his hektish, because it's really, by etzem, it's really hers. Everybody who argues in Ravuna, what are they going to taina? No, so they'll explain, the Ran points this out, that even though that really the tama, the takana was actually for is really for the husband, not for the wife. That the wife, who husband's willing to able to support her, may not choose to keep to keep her earnings and support her with herself. She's not allowed to choose that. So according to them, we understand the Mishnah's talking about a case where the husband doesn't have enough money to support her, and that's why it's not his. Because it's not his, because at the end of the day, he didn't have enough money to support her. So the Gemara says vamosar, and the extra of what she earns. The Moser, Rabbi Meir Omer Hektish. Rabbi Meir is going to understand that because a husband is required to give his wife extra money for the Hadafah as well, so therefore, that would be Hektish. Rabbi Meir understands that the extra Maisei Adayim is going to be Hektish. So we're understanding that after, so that's the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Sanler Omer Chulin. Rabbi Yochanan Sanler understands that it's Chulin. He understands that a man is not able to be Maktish, something that has not yet come into the world. So the Gemara says, Chulin. So we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Sanler. So what do we see? Alma ena demaktish davar shalabala olam. So we see from Shmuel that he paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Sanler over here, that we see that a person cannot be maktish something that has not yet come into existence. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema kika amar halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now you're going to tell me that which Shmuel says halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, al hadafu dekamra, only regard to the part that's extra. Only regards to his machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, who tells us that the excess belongs to the wife. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri says that no, they belong to the husband. So that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. But the idea that Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, that the husband has to be made for the neder, in a chanami Shmuel disagrees with that halacha. So the Gemara says that it's not the way that you should have said it. Lema halacha Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, bahadafa. You should have said the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Menuri only with regards to hadafa, because there's another halacha over here. You could very easily, as we're about to, as we are right now, get misled to understand it. The halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Menuri for both things that he said, both be made for the neder, and also that davar shalaba ala olam is nachal. That's what it seems to be by both of them. Inami, or he should have said halacha katana kama, because the Tana Kama tells us that the husband doesn't need to be made for the neder. So we would, that's exactly how you're paskening, not like Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. Or inami in halacha Rabbi Akiva, as the Ram points out, if you just say that halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva, then hasa shaper demash benaleis hilchos like Rabbi Akiva b'midi. So I'm reading the Ram now, that the halacha was not following Rabbi Akiva, not what he says that you should be made for the neder. It's because it doesn't tzarich hafara, because it's not yours, and it hasn't come into the world yet. And also that what you say, the hadafa is dida. It's really the husband's. So since Shmuel didn't phrase his statement in any of these ways, L'chorav, when he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, he means it literally, that it follows both things. So again, we're back to the stira. How could Shmuel tell us that davar shelo ba'al olam is going to be the neder is chal, when he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan Sanler that it's not chal? So we have a stira in the psakim of Shmuel. So it says the Gemara, Ella Amar of Yosef, rather of Yosef tells us that really when it comes to Shmuel's halacha, there's going to be a difference between Rabbi Yochanan Sanler and the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Shani Konamas, because Konamas are fundamentally different, because Hoel Va'adam Oser Peros Chaviro Alav, that since a person can aser the fruits of his friend on himself by declaring a Konam to himself, Oser Nami Davar Shalabala Olam Alav, he can also aser himself as a Konam, an item that has not yet come into the world. Konamas have something that's unique, that's not, Ran points out, that is not regular by regular hektish. A person is not able to be makdish his friend's fruits. Here, he has the ability to be makdish his friend's fruits vis-a-vis himself. So therefore, we're understanding that a person is therefore also usher, also has the ability to usher through a konim something that hasn't come into the world. Because we have this extra chumrah that we see, that it's able to be makdish something which really, normally, ain't other makdish davar shalim shalo. Here you can be makdish davar shalom vis-a-vis you, so too you can be makdish davar shalom labala olam as well, something that hasn't come into existence, because a konim is a stronger type of situation where you're making it hektish. So that's what we're saying over here. So the Gemara says, Amar le'abaye, but abaye has a kashi on this. Is that really true? How can you compare the case of Rioch Manuri to that which you're being makdish someone's fruit on yourself? Bishlam, Lama Adam Oser Peres Chaveru Alav. Now I understand a person can ask for the fruits of his friend on himself with a konem, because Hare Adam Oser Perosav Al Chaveru, because a person also can ask for his fruits on his friend. Basically, there really, you need, konamas still are only going to be one of two things have to be chal. Either the fruits or the balabayas, the person himself, has to be under the jurisdiction of the person making the neder. Meaning either they're my fruits and I can make them asr to you, or they're your fruits but I'm making the asr to me. Meaning I have goof on myself and I have the ability to asr them to myself. So therefore, I understand that a person is able to be, to make the fruits on himself a konam. That makes sense, because even though the fruits are not under jurisdiction, you are bailus over yourself, and therefore you can also, on your fruits to him, you can make that make sense. However, it says, but how can you tell me that one is able to asr an item that has not yet come into existence on his friend? Because a person is not able to asr the fruits of his friend on his friend. The case in our Mishnah, which a woman is asring her future earnings, which has not yet come as davar shalom ba'olam, is more similar to a case where we're understanding that the madir wants to asr his fruits on his friend. And since you're not able to do that because you don't have bailus over either of those two things, so to the case of the woman, they shouldn't be similar. That's what the Gemara assumes right now. Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, we'll pick up Ella Amar Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Mirtz Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.